Wake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Comes on the scene, when Elijah comes on the scene, he's fully for a whole nation. He also has a school of prophets. He's got a bunch of guys he's training. And they're called the sons of the prophets. He's got a bunch of guys he's training, and they're watching him, and they're doing different things. When he comes on the scene, Israel's in a mess. Israel is in a mess. Man, I mean, when you read the scriptures, you see, Lord, it's like, you just want to apologize to the Lord for how often we just stray and stray and stray and worship other things. And, oh my goodness. And, you know, the kingdom of the Israel, really the nation that God had given them the promised land, they were together, and then after Solomon, they split up. You got 10 tribes and 2 tribes. Judah and Benjamin are 2 tribes called Judah, and you got the other 10. And you got kings of both of those, and you know, you read it, it's like, and this guy became king, and he did evil on the side of the Lord. And this guy became king, and did evil on the side of the Lord. And it gets over and over. Then you find a good one, then a bad one, and 5 more bad ones. And they are constantly bringing in false God worship, idolatry, and with that, depending on what it was, a lot of other deaths. The Baal, or Baal, as we might say, B-A-A-L. That character, demonic, false god, when he was worshipped, was really the god of the Canaanites. Just north of Israel, modern-day Lebanon, is Sidon, and that is where Jezebel came from, right? And that was, Baal was, or Baal was their god there. She brought, when Ahab married King Ahab, King of Israel, married her, she brought the worship of Baal to Israel. And hundreds of prophets of this people got down. Baal worship isn't just like an idol setup. It is really evil. Like sacrificing your children, especially the oldest, to try and gain favor with this God, which is for nothing. So they're sacrificing their own children to this thing. And then they would have orgies in Baal temple to try and stir up the gods as well. So you've got all kinds of sexual perversion. You've got killing of children. That same spirit is really, I would say, behind abortion throughout our country as well. So it's not like the spirit just went away, it just changed forms and still is active. That's just how it works in the world. But when Elijah comes on the scene, Ahab is there, he's doing all kinds of evil, he's got his evil wife, she's a priestess of Baal, or a witch, basically. Elijah comes on the scene, and he declares something. Because of all the evil that's going on, there's going to be a drought for 3 years. So he declares that, and it doesn't rain for 3 years. And that happens, and then God sends him to help a widow and her son. The son dies. Elijah prays for his son, stretches himself out over this dead boy, and he comes back to life. That's pretty remarkable. Dead kid coming back to life. And then he put the first slide up. Then we got Mount Carmel, if you guys will remember that one, right? Elijah's like, all of these, our nation, who was God's children in possession, are serving all these other gods. So he decides to have an encounter, basically, or a demonstration to show who is the real God. Is it Baal, or is it God of heaven? And so, up on Mount Carmel, Elijah says to Ahab, bring all of your prophets of Baal and of the Asherah, which is kind of Baal's mother. And there's a whole bunch of people that worship just her as well, which is another just false god, idol. See, 400 prophets for the Asherah, 450 prophets for Baal. They all gather together, 850 evil prophets, and then you have a bunch of other people, and here's Elijah, and he says, you know, do whatever you need to do, set up one of your burnt offerings, or one of your, what do you call these? Altar, thank you. Set up an altar, we're just laughing. Set up an altar, and we'll see which god responds in fire. So you can see the top right there, that's just kind of a, that they danced around and cut themselves. That's another way that the priests, they were slicing themselves with knives, blood cutting, trying to get Baal to respond. And he did, so Elijah's mocking him. I love that part. Elijah's mocking, maybe your God is asleep, maybe he's on vacation or whatever. And then Elijah, it was his turn, he says that he repairs the altar that Ahab had torn down. Used to make sacrifices to the God of heaven. So he repairs that altar, slices up, kills an ox, they put the big slabs of meat up on the altar, on the wood, and then he says, pour water over it. See these guys, these buckets, they pour water over it, they dig a trench around it, the trench is filled with water. Three times, they just soak the sacrifice. And then Elijah gives this basic prayer. He's not cutting himself, he's not dancing around. Praise to God. Will you answer and show everyone here that you are a true God? And fire falls from heaven? I mean, this would have been an incredible scene, because it's not just fire coming from heaven to consume what was on the wood, this ox, but fire dissolved all of the ox, all of the wood, and all of the stones, all of the water, everything. It's dry ground. It's disappeared. And the people go, okay, we know which God is real. And then Elijah says, okay, to the people, go ahead and destroy these prophets of Baal. 450 of them. Kill them. Right there. And then Elijah looks to Ahab, who's watching all of this. Just don't listen to the show. I don't know where he was. He looks at Ahab and says, you should probably get going because I hear rain coming. That'll tell him a drop in 3 years. Ahab takes off, and Elijah begins to pray that the rain would come. And all of a sudden, the cloud falls over the sea. And then it says, Ahab girded up his loins and outran Ahab as he heads back in his chariot. Elijah puts on his sneakers and runs. He didn't have any notes. And outruns Ahab in a chariot back to Samaria, where the palace is, outruns him. When he gets there, he talks to Ahab. Now, that would have been another shock, you would think, for Ahab. Going, wait a minute, I've just seen fire come down. Now, this dude just outran my horse back to the city. You'd think he'd be pretty repentant at that point and maybe open to what God might be wanting to say. He's not. Ahab goes and tells his wife Jezebel what Elijah had just done. And the story changes. From right here, the story changes. Now, here's what Jezebel says. 1 Kings 19, verse 2. So, she said this by a messenger. This wasn't even personal. She hears about what happens, she sends a message through someone else. So may the gods do to me even more if I do not make your life as the life of one of them. Number 450 prophets. By tomorrow, this time, in the next 24 hours, I'll have you a dead man, basically. Verse 3. One of the most bizarre things. And he was afraid. And arose and ran for his life. That curious you guys at all? For what just happened? That he would hear words from a messenger from Jezebel, and he it did something on the inside of him that caused him to be afraid, and he ran for his life. You know, fear has a feel. It's not just a thought. It oftentimes has a feel with it. Have you felt that before? I've had fear hit me, and someone has been through a demonic, really just a demonic person even, or a person that has some demonic power with them, and it has hit me, and it shakes you from the inside like all of your bones. And you can't even explain it. Sometimes you can't even speak. It can be paralyzing or it can make you run for your life. One of those things. You guys felt those type of things? It's weird. You can't even there was a demonic force with that. It caused him to shake and to run for his life. After what he had just experienced. Verse 4, but he himself, Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a juniper tree and he requested for himself that he might die. This is the next thing that happens. Again, look at the context of what had just happened. Success, incredible, fire from heaven. Next thing you know, he's asking God, will you kill me? My life, I've come in complete despair. After just running a day in the wilderness to escape the words from a woman. An angel then feeds him for 40 days. After the Lord takes care of him, going to die, the angel then feeds him on food the last 40 days, and he gets up. We put that next slide up. And here's what he does after the angel feeds him. He's still in fear. He goes, okay, I'm going to point it with me. You can see where it says Israel up there, the Dead Sea up there. He's basically in that area, he's to the right of the El or Israel, somewhere in that region right now. He gets up from having a meal, and the angel gives him, the angel appears and gives him a meal. He's still afraid. He then goes from up there all the way. If you look to the right, and this is, you've heard me, I did this whole series on the Exodus, and I believe that Mount Sinai is not in Egypt, I think it's Saudi Arabia. So the one on the right, Juba al Wal, or Wals, whatever it is, bottom right, to the right of the Red Sea, that is about 250 miles through the desert. That's where he goes. And he goes to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai. We don't know about Mount Sinai. That's where the Ten Commandments was given. That's where Israel and Jesus escaped Egypt, and here they are, 3 million people at the base of Mount Sinai, and God speaks to Moses as he goes up on the mountain, and there's all kinds of rumbling and rolling and lightning and shaking. He goes all the way there and climbs the mountain. That's a long ways away. I mean, that's from here to Knoxville, Tennessee, on foot through the desert without a meal. That's a long way. And from what I read, the last time an Israelite has been to Mount Sinai was 600 years earlier. 600 years. When God brought Israel out of slavery to Mount Sinai and then sent them to the promised land. It's been a long time that someone from Israel has climbed that mountain. But that's where he goes. Then we go to slide number 3 here, 1 Kings 19. Not only read just a few of these verses. Then he came there, Elijah, to a cave and lodged there on the mountain. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and God said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So to me, that says that God didn't tell him to go there, he just went. And here's something that just take note. If God asks you a question, what are you doing here? Think back to the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve, right, what was his question to them there? Where are you? If God asks, where are you, or what are you doing here? Something's wrong. Just to let you know, you don't, and here's a good plan, don't make an excuse at that moment or blame shift. This is all about you having done something really wrong. That's it. We just talk that up, right? If the Lord just asks you that question, just go, okay, what if I messed up? Because clearly, I'm not supposed to be here. The Lord says, what are you doing here, Elijah? Verse 10. And he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Now, Elijah is one of my heroes here. I'm not, we're all going to meet him, by the way. So I'm not speaking poorly of him. We're just reading the scripture here and learning from his life. Right? He says, 100 of God's prophets when Jezebel was slaughtering God's prophets. He hid them in a cave, this guy who died. He was taking care of them and feeding them. Elijah just fed him. He knows that he's not going to die. But in his mind, he's convinced, I'm the only one. So here's what happens. Here's what we see. We see fear, demonic fear, shaking him, causing him to run, right? And then he's going backwards the wrong way from where he's supposed to be. And then he starts to believe a lie. That I'm the only one left. How about this one? I'm the only one who's going through this. It's just me. I'm the only one who's really hanging in there for the Lord. Everybody else, all those other Christians, you know. He believes that crazy lie. Verse 11. So he said, this is God, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord. God came. And behold, the Lord was passing by. Hello. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Imagine that sight for just a moment. The mountains, huge rocks and boulders exploding with this incredible wind. And the Lord was not in the wind. God was doing it, but he was not speaking to Elijah through it. And after the wind, an earthquake. Now the mountain is shaking. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. Verse 12. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. And when Elijah heard that sound, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, say what? What are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous. Exact same answer. I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, the sons of Israel, forsaken your covenant, torn out your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left. And they seek my life to take it away. I'm not the fastest learner sometimes either. Sorry, you know, it's okay, Elijah. But twice God asked him the exact same question, which means the first answer probably wasn't the best answer. Right? Verse 15, the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. That's a long ways. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael, king over Aram, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall anoint king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. He just got replaced. It shall come about the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu, shall put to death, the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha, put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 people in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that is not Christian. That's a response to, I alone am the only one left. No, there's 7,000 yet. Like you, Elijah. You're not the only guy who's doing this right. Right? Now, Elijah represents really all the prophets of the Old Testament. Obviously a remarkable person. But what he has experienced is important for you and I. I've experienced that type of fear. You may, if you haven't already. And it's simply to help you see and to help us see that when that comes, what we're not supposed to do. What we're not supposed to do. We can learn from that. It doesn't matter if it comes with this shaking into your core, your bones rattle. What we're not supposed to do is run, hide, doubt God, go into self-pity, all of those things. We cannot afford that. I remember several years ago, I was about to speak at this meeting, it was on a Friday night. conversation went longer than I thought it was going to. This person was talking, and I looked back more closely at the counter behind me, just kind of leaning against it while this person was talking. So I think he felt such back. I leaned against the counter. What I didn't see was there was two of those big coffee pot things that are known with hot coffee and hot water. And I backed my bum right into the spit. And it poured scalding water down my backside, hinder parts. And I'm about to get up and speak. And I'm scorched in the rear. And it looks like something else happened. That I got coffee over my tan colored pants in the back. So I asked one of the someone else who was looking in the lobby, it was winter. I said, can you run to my chair and grab my jacket? So I had a coat, so they did, and I wrapped the arms around here, so I got this jacket on. And when I was spoke, what a sight. It's probably one of the interesting style pieces. But anyway. Right before I spoke, I got back into the table and I said, Rob, you're not going to believe what I just did. I told him the story. And he didn't say a word. But he took out a pen, took a piece of paper, and he wrote something and slid it over to me right before I got to speak. He said, if you back up, you get burned. And man, it was like a message from heaven. I thought, that's very similar to April was just described. That is a message. I'm listening, Lord. So many weird things and bizarre things in my life are oftentimes the Lord, He'll make the most of it. Let me say it that way. Not necessarily if I did it, but He will speak to me through that, a message to help me for what's coming, for what's ahead. And so I hold on to that. If you back up, you'll get burned. Now Elijah backtracked 250 miles of a journey that the Israelites had made 600 years earlier. And God wasn't doing anything there anymore. He wasn't supposed to be there. He went backwards. A long way backwards. And he was not supposed to be there. God was then trying to get him where he was supposed to be. So after God gives him this message, one of the great things, of course, how God does this for all of us. He's so generous and compassionate and forgiving that you see when you read the rest of Elijah's life. Not only did he go and throw his mantle, found Elisha, threw his mantle over him, trains Elisha up, but he also goes back to Ahab and gives him a word that basically was about Ahab dying and his wife was going to die, how they would die, and that the dogs would lick up their blood. You know, that was. So he somehow, the Bible doesn't describe it, but somehow after that encounter with the Lord, with God showing him on this mountain, I can crack this mountain in two. I can torch whatever I want to. I am much more powerful than anything you heard from Jezebel. Gave him an opportunity, even though he got the answers wrong at that moment. Something happened in his heart because he went back to that same place and delivered the message he was supposed to deliver. And the Lord used him in pretty amazing ways after that. Thank you, God. Hebrews 10, verse 39 says, but we, you and I, we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. If you read the rest of that passage, especially the verses before that, talks about God doesn't take pleasure when our souls shrink back. We get afraid and we just go backwards. He wants us moving forward. And the day that you and I are living in, there's going to be plenty of fear. It says at the end times, Jesus said this, that people will become so fearful that they'll be crying out for the rocks to fall on them. That's a lot of fear. You and I are going to feel it, we're going to see it, but we are not supposed to be afraid. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Not a mind full of self-pity Think I'm the only one left, or I'm all alone, or no one's going to listen to me? No, a sound mind that can see clearly, that knows what's going on, and we have battles yet ahead. We're not supposed to back up. And obviously, for the Lord to be sharing this clearly a couple of times with us, there's some things, at least for some of us in here, now, or some maybe later, you're not supposed to back up for right now. Whether it's being a voice at your school board, or in your business, or sharing truth, and the enemy says, well, if you do that, you're going to lose your job. If you do that, you are going to die. And that's always the threat. That's what Jezebel's threat was. You're going to die. You're going to have that fear of death. No, you're not going to die. Yes, God has a plan for you. Yes, you were born for this moment. Don't let fear direct your path. Push you backwards. No going back to Mount Sinai. God's not in that anymore. If he was on that mountain, he was in this voice. He speaks to us now. He's speaking through you. He's speaking to you. We're not called like Elijah necessarily. As far as I know, we don't speak to the president or a king right now. But we are in our neighborhoods, and we're in our jobs, and there are things that we are supposed to do and say that God's prepared us for. And we're supposed to stand. Sometimes spiritual warfare, according to Ephesians 6, is having done all to stand, stand. But it's not having done all to stand, shrink back. Back up. Give up. Quit. We're not supposed to do that. We can't do that. We can't afford that. God gave the reason. Book of Acts. Remember what happened when the Holy Spirit came to all of these guys? Great courage. Great courage. That's a part of what we get in the Holy Spirit. It's courage to stand, courage to speak, courage to love, courage to not back down to evil. That spirit of awe is trying to and is encroaching in our nation. It really is in many, many different ways, and I'm sure it will continue to. And it will come with a fear that you can't say anything. Come with a fear that you can't do anything. Or is it, you don't, you just stay in your lane, you don't say anything, you just live right here. But the Lord wants us to be strong in Him. And being a part of justice is our calling to be those who bring due justice, right? To love mercy, to do justice. Walk humbly with God. Doing justice is courageous. It's not an easy thing. Don't back up. So there's a message for us.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.